Praise the Lord. I'm enjoying this day very much so far. I'm much encouraged by many of you that I got to meet and talk, and also by all the words that we heard. It felt to me like those brothers are very well in preparing everything and putting it together. I think they spend the night talking to each other about what they have to say, and I don't think so. I think there's somebody who's really leading us. And that's what he does. He's our head. And he's here. And he loves to do that. He loves to take his place amongst those he loves. That's again what was the intention. Take his people out from the grasp of the enemy to allow them to be in the right place where he can come and take his place. The place that he loves in the midst of them. And I hope that I get to know more of you more and more. I got to hear a lot of things. One, I heard a couple of you talking outside, and I don't know the names. I didn't even look. I was just hearing the voices. Somebody talking about soccer and said there's soccer today. I love soccer personally, but I don't know which games are today because I didn't have a time to think about it. I was thinking about coming here. But what I heard is one of the youth is saying, I'm happy to be here. I know next week there will be soccer on Saturday. Soccer will always be there. But I'm glad to be here today. What a refreshing thing to hear from a young man. What a refreshing thing to hear from a youth in a Saturday in this world. But let me tell you, it's not too much for the Lord. I assure you, we're much, much more blessed. We're much, much happier. We're not doing God a favor by coming here. We're actually the ones gaining all the favor by being here. But it's very refreshing to hear something like this from a young man. I know that all of you this morning had a choice of doing something else. But you chose to come here today. It's grace that protected us to be able to make such a choice. And we stood in the morning in front of a theme that is a type of what happened with us. As we heard, Egypt is a type of the world. The Pharaoh is a type of the head of this world, the ruler of this world, Satan. And the people of God, who are type for us today, represent us in that story. And the story was about delivering them, not only not by the blood that was shed and was sprinkled on the doorposts and the lintel, so they don't die, but by bringing them out of Egypt. The story didn't end by them escaping death, but that was again the beginning to be able to take them out of Egypt. And going through the Red Sea and having full liberty, seeing the enemy sinking, they know that the enemy has no power over them anymore, and understand the true meaning of the cross. Now I'm going to ask a question, and I want one of you, a brave soul, to stand up and describe to us in a very simple way what happened that night when the Lord was passing by, and the last judgment of killing the firstborns of the Egyptians were happening. And that night, God ordered his people to sprinkle the blood, and this way they will be protected and they will not have the same fate. Can somebody stand up and tell me exactly what happened that day? Just from the Bible, how it describes the events. What did God do that night? Who's going to say it? One of you, I'm not going any further, so... And I have all night here. I'm not going anywhere. Who can say, what did God do? He told them, sprinkle the blood, and we all know they did it. And then, what did he do? Who's going to say it? I said a brave soul. Go ahead. Exactly. So an angel came and was killing the firstborns inside the houses that didn't have the blood. What did God do? Let's have the answer, but it's good answer. Thank you. What did God do? Good saying.
Passover.
Yeah, God said, I'll see the blood and Passover. He passed over. What is that? What did he do?
Accepted their sacrifice. The animal sacrifice.
So he accepted it, but what did he do? Now, what is it that I'm challenging here? You're all looking at me like, what is this guy trying to say? We, as we heard from Brother Mark, we grow up in the meaning, many of us. And I'm challenging you that whatever things that you have engraved in your mind, you took for granted as the truth, as who is Christ, as what I believe in, maybe not exactly what you think. Nobody can tell you who Christ is but Christ himself. And you can never see him till you really see him. You can never know the meaning of prayer till you talk to him. You can never know the meaning of worship till you see him before your eyes and you start describing what you see. You want to know what a Sunday worship meeting is? The Lord Jesus comes in the midst of us and he shows us himself. And we see him and then we start talking. Anything else is just somebody who knows what to say on Sunday. If you don't see that, you better don't say anything. Don't just fill the gaps. What I'm talking about now is something that we all know very well, but maybe not. What did he do? There was death. There was judgment. The firstborn was killed. There was blood sprinkled on the doorposts and the lintel of the houses where the Hebrews were, the people of God. What did God do? Yes. What is that? Where is that coming from? Spread his wings. How many of you thought of this? You're doubting everything now. Okay, let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. And let's read from verse 13. And I'm going to ask you to read. You can, Matt, where's Matt? Can you read 12, 13? Exodus 12, 13.
And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. The plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt.
Thank you. So when I read this verse, the picture that I imagine or think about, that the Lord is passing by to apply the judgment, he sees the blood, and he can value that, the worth of that blood, and he makes that decision that because of the blood, I will not judge this house. And he passes over to another house. Let's go to verse 23. And Thomas, can read 23, please.
Verse 23.